Hermanos, que el Señor les continúe bendiciendo en esta mañana. Vamos ahora a, primeramente vamos a dar los anuncios de esta semana, para entonces entrar a alabar al Señor con unos cánticos. Este martes, que todos los martes, ¿verdad?, sabemos que tenemos el estudio bíblico, pero esta semana no va a haber estudio bíblico porque va a visitarnos el hermano Bercelio Muñoz de Colombia, que ustedes ya lo conocen, ¿verdad? Ya él es de aquí, ¿verdad? Siempre que viene nos visita, y como va a estar acá, pues va a tener predicación. O sea que este martes hay predicación. O sea que los estudios los continuamos en dos semanas más, porque luego la otra semana también tenemos al tío del pastor, ¿verdad? Raúl López, que va a estar trayendo también una predicación. Así que por estos dos martes paramos los estudios, que nos quedamos en el 18 del libro, vamos a seguir, ¿verdad?, en Josué, pero sería entonces principios de junio, ¿verdad?, el martes que cae en principios de junio. El miércoles 24, ¿verdad?, en esta semana tenemos el programa radial por WISA 1390 de 9 a 10 de la noche. El jueves tenemos la oración y tenemos también la grabación del programa. Le toca dirigir al hermano Marco. Le toca este jueves todo. Y el domingo, pues nos reunimos nuevamente para estar aquí en la casa del Señor. Atrás hay otros anuncios, que es la próxima predicación de martes, que es el hermano Raúl López, que va a estar con nosotros. Y el sábado 3 de junio, recuerden el retiro de caballeros, ¿verdad?, que va a ser en Caguas. El congreso en la Iglesia Bautista Bíblica de Caguas, y van a salir a las 6:30 de la mañana, porque es a las 9 y es lejito. Y el domingo 11 de junio, pues sí, estamos como siempre aquí, pero también vamos a tener como predicador al hermano Bercelio nuevamente, que va a estar también con su familia. Viene su esposa, que Tito la conoce, pero nosotros acá no la conocemos, así que van a poder conocer a la hermana Leito. Y el hijo va a estar, creo que una de las hijas también, van a estar unos cuantos que... El hijo sí estuvo con nosotros en una ocasión y predicó un martes también, así que a Daniel lo conocen, pero algunos quizás no. Así que vamos a tener casa llena ese día también con la familia del hermano Bercelio. Hermanos, vamos a ponernos de pie. Si me acompañan, primeramente vamos a buscar en la Biblia el Salmo 84. Salmo 84, que se titula Anhelo por la casa de Dios. Dice así la palabra del Señor: cuán amables son tus moradas, oh Jehová de los ejércitos. Anhela mi alma y aún ardientemente desea los atrios de Jehová. Mi corazón y mi carne cantan al Dios vivo. Aún el gorrión halla casa, y la golondrina nido para sí, donde ponga sus polluelos. Cerca de tus altares, oh Jehová de los ejércitos, Rey mío y Dios mío. Bienaventurados los que habitan en tu casa, perpetuamente te alabarán. Bienaventurado el hombre que tiene en ti sus fuerzas, en cuyo corazón están tus caminos. Atravesando el valle de lágrimas, lo cambian en fuente, cuando la lluvia llena los estanques. Irán de poder en poder, verán a Dios en Sion. Jehová de los ejércitos, oye mi oración. Escucha, oh Dios de Jacob. Mira, oh Dios, escudo nuestro, y pon los ojos en el rostro de tu ungido. Porque mejor es un día en tus atrios que mil fuera de ellos. Escogería antes estar a la puerta de la casa de mi Dios que habitar en las moradas de maldad. Porque sol y escudo es Jehová Dios. Gracia y gloria dará Jehová. No quitará el bien a los que andan en integridad. Jehová de los ejércitos, dichoso el hombre que en ti confía. Amén. Bendito sea el Señor, ¿verdad? Este salmo nos habla del anhelo de estar en la casa de Dios, ¿verdad? Día a día, no solo domingo, ¿verdad? Nosotros nos reunimos semana también y siempre procuramos día a día estar, mientras se abren las puertas de la casa de Dios, estar en la casa del Señor. Y ese es el anhelo que debe ser el anhelo del cristiano, ¿verdad? Como lo vemos aquí en el Salmo, ¿verdad? Que también debiera ser ese deseo, el deseo nuestro. Vamos a cantar unos cánticos que tienen que ver con esto, ¿verdad? El primero es, hemos venido a este lugar. Van a estar aquí proyectados. Hemos venido a alabar al Señor.
Hemos
eso hemos venido, ¿verdad?, en esta mañana. Vamos a buscar, bueno, lo tenemos aquí al frente, hay otro cántico bien hermoso que dice: venimos ante ti, Señor, con corazones sinceros. Bendito sea el Señor. Hermanos, pueden sentarse un momentito. Podemos ir para ir preparándonos, ¿verdad? Para los diezmos y las ofrendas. Pero queremos darle también la bienvenida, que están con nosotros, ¿verdad? Ya son parte nuestra. Son dos familias mías, ¿verdad? Están los papás de Josué aquí con sus hermanas, así que le damos la bienvenida nuevamente. Están los papás de Daniela, su familia allá atrás, así que estamos bien contentos, ¿verdad? Somos doblemente bendecidos con dos familias extendidas que son una bendición, ¿verdad? Para mí, para Tito, para mis hijos, ¿verdad? Así que le damos las gracias a Dios por eso. Tenemos, ¿verdad? Nos continúa visitando el primo de Marquito y su hermano que está acá también. Y él es tu compañero de trabajo, ¿verdad? Él no habla español, pero vamos a ver si con la ayuda del Señor ahorita le vamos a traducir para ver si... A ver si le podemos la predicación, por lo menos tratar de que él pueda escucharla en inglés para ayudarle. Así que estamos felices, ¿verdad?, de que estén acá con nosotros. Así que espero que el Señor, ¿verdad?, les bendiga grandemente en esta mañana. Amén. Gloria a Dios. Vamos a pedirle al hermano Pablo que si nos ayuda, ¿verdad?, con los diezmos y las ofrendas, pueden ir preparando. Vamos a cantar un cántico cuando después, ¿verdad?, que recojamos las ofrendas.
Hermano, que el Señor nos continúe bendiciendo. Gracias te damos, Señor, en esta mañana, Señor. Gracias por traernos hasta aquí, hasta tu casa de oración, Señor. Gracias, Señor, por los estudios que tuvimos en esta mañana. Y gracias por todas las bendiciones que recibimos cada momento de nuestras vidas, Señor. Te alabamos y te bendecimos y te damos toda la gloria a ti, Señor. Y en estos momentos pido, Señor, por estos diezmos y ofrendas que van a ser colectados, Señor. Bendícelo, Señor, grandemente. Bendice al dador alegre, el que no puede dar, también bendícelo, Señor. A los hermanos que no pudieron estar con nosotros, bendícelo allá en sus hogares, Señor. Todo te lo pido en el glorioso nombre de tu Hijo Jesucristo, que para Él sea toda la gloria y la honra. Amén.
Hermanos, tenemos un último cántico que yo lo había puesto hace tiempo y aquí se cantó una vez, pero le doy la gracia al Señor que está ¿verdad? Está el hermano Herbert y la hermana Nuria, porque ellos lo enseñaron aquí y yo quisiera que ellos pasaran mejor y lo canten, porque yo sé que ellos lo van a cantar mejor que yo, así que, pero para que toda la iglesia lo cante, porque sí se cantó en la semana, José Luis lo trajo un día, pero yo sé que ellos me pueden ayudar mejor, y si tienen alguno otro que quieran, ¿verdad?, cantar en confianza. Pero ya ellos tienen los músicos tienen la música, así que...
No creo que la cantemos mejor que ustedes. Ok, este es el Salmo 27:4. Una cosa he demandado a Jehová, esta buscaré, que esté yo en la casa de Jehová. ¿Cuál es la casa de Jehová, hermanos? ¿Esta? ¿Allá? ¿Allá? Dice, somos templo del Señor. Y esta es una canción que recoge ese verso. Dice, que esté yo en la casa de Jehová todos los días de mi vida, contemplando la hermosura. Es una invitación a que nosotros contemplemos la hermosura de Jehová y podamos inquirir su palabra y su voz en nosotros. ¡Qué tremendo! Es una invitación. Esto es un simbolismo que nos habla de que Dios está presente en nosotros, como dice otro verso en Efesios, recordemos. Él en nuestros corazones. Amén. Él está por la fe en nuestros corazones. Así que cantando con ese entendimiento, hermano. ¿Qué conocería, hermano? ¿Sí?
bendiga, hermanos. Gloria al Señor. Vamos a, primeramente, gracias, hermano Herbert, Nuria, por el cántico. Amén. Ya ve, ya lo tenemos parte del roster que tenemos acá. Gloria a Dios, una bendición. Amén. Y gracias al Señor que estamos todos aquí. Dios me lo bendiga. Estamos acá contentos de estar en la casa del Señor. Y hoy pues tenemos muchas familias que nos están visitando. Gloria a Dios. Y tenemos también a Craig, ¿verdad? Amén. Saying it already, Craig. So we're going to try and translate, okay? We're going to translate. So we hope that it's much better for you, okay? Making it up. Gloria a Dios. Así que lo vamos a hacer en nombre de Jesús. Dual language. Así lo va a escuchar dos veces, hermano. En el nombre de Jesús. Vamos a ver cómo nos sale, porque a veces hay que hacer las pausitas. Si de momento si usted que el pastor se come una pausa, pues ya sabe. Parte de los defectos del pastor. Gloria a Dios. Ahí vamos, en el nombre de Jesús. Ok. Muy bien. El tema de hoy, hermanos, es... ¿Hay perdón para los que no perdonan? ¿Hay perdón para los que no perdonan?
Today's topic will be, is there forgiveness for those that don't forgive?
En Mateo 18, 23 al 35 es que vamos a estar leyendo. Mateo 18, 23 al 35, gloria a Dios.
Open up your Bibles to Matthew 18, 23 to 35.
Ok. Cuando lo tengan todo, hermanos, se pueden poner de pie un segundito, lo leemos. Esta porción todo junto como hacemos de costumbre. Amén. Gloria a Dios. Ahora sí. Amén. Dice la palabra del Señor así. Segundito. Por lo cual el reino de los cielos es semejante a un rey que quiso hacer cuentas con sus siervos. Amén. Y comenzando a hacer cuentas, le fue presentado uno que le debía 10,000 talentos. A este, como no pudo pagar, ordenó su señor venderle y a su mujer e hijos y todo lo que tenía para que se le pagase la deuda. Entonces aquel siervo postrado le suplicaba diciendo, Señor, ten paciencia conmigo y yo te lo pagaré todo. El señor de aquel siervo, movido a misericordia, le soltó y le perdonó la deuda. Pero saliendo aquel siervo, halló a uno de sus consiervos, quien le debía 100 denarios, y haciendo de él, le ahogaba, diciendo, págame lo que me debes. Entonces su consiervo, postrado a sus pies, le rogaba, diciendo, ten paciencia conmigo, y yo te lo pagaré todo. Mas él no quiso, sino fue y le echó en la cárcel hasta que pagase la deuda. Viendo sus consiervos lo que pasaba, se entristecieron mucho y fueron y refirieron a su señor todo lo que había pasado. Entonces, llamándole su señor, le dijo, siervo malvado, toda aquella deuda te perdoné porque me rogaste. ¿No debías también tú tener misericordia de tu consiervo como yo tuve misericordia de ti? Entonces su señor, enojado, le entregó a los verdugos hasta que pagase todo lo que debía. Así también mi Padre Celestial hará con vosotros, si no perdonáis de todo corazón cada uno a su hermano sus ofensas. Vamos a orar. Padre Santo, Señor, te damos gracias en esta mañana por darnos esta bendición y el privilegio de estar en tu casa para escuchar tu palabra, para contemplar tu hermosura, como dice tu palabra, para inquirir en tu templo, Señor, para que hoy, Señor, aquí tú nos hables a nuestras vidas. En adición a habernos permitido, Señor, cantarte alabanzas y estar en el calor y el amor de los hermanos. Ahora, Señor, permite que podamos predicar tu palabra y que ella, Señor, ahora nos hable a nuestro corazón y nos permita, Señor, de esa forma conocerte más, conocerte mejor y de esa forma entender, Padre, cómo ser tus discípulos y qué tú esperas de nosotros, a quienes tú has comprado con la sangre de tu Hijo Jesús. Por eso, Señor, te pido tu bendición para todos hoy y que si alguien en esta mañana estuviera aquí y no estuviera salvo, Señor, por la fe, por tu gracia, que hoy, Señor, sea el día de salvación. Gracias, Señor. Te lo pedimos ahora en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén. Gloria a Dios. El Evangelio, hermano, es un mensaje de perdón. Amén.
The gospel is a message of forgiveness.
Okay. En Miqueas 7:18,
Micah 7:18.
Okay. Dice, ¿qué Dios como tú que perdona la maldad y olvida el pecado del remanente de su heredad? No retuvo para siempre su enojo porque se deleita en misericordia. Ya que, espera un momentito, que es que Micah es un poquito más difícil para conseguir.
Micah 7:18 says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy."
Así que los que vemos referidos en el Antiguo Testamento, hermanos, sabían que Dios era un Dios de misericordia y de perdón. Amén.
What we see in the Old Testament is that God was a God of mercy and of forgiveness.
Y en Jonás 4:2, usted recuerda que estuvimos hablando de Jonás hace poco.
And in Jonah 4:2.
Mm-hmm. Bien. Dice, oró a Jehová y dijo, ahora, oh Jehová, ¿no es esto lo que yo decía aún estando en mi tierra? Por eso me apresuré a huir a Tarsis. Porque sabía yo que tú eres Dios clemente y piadoso, tardo en enojarte y de grande misericordia, y que te arrepientes del mal.
Jonah 4:2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of kindness, and repentest thee of the evil.
Hace poco estuvimos hablando de si Dios se arrepentía o no. ¿Recuerda? Y habíamos dicho que nos conviene que Dios se arrepienta, o sea, que cambie de parecer respecto a si nos va a perdonar o no. ¿Amén? Estuvimos viendo eso y es lo mismo que dice Jonás.
A while back we were seeing that if God repents of what he does, and it is to our convenience that he does repent what he does
para perdonarnos,
to forgive us.
Habíamos dicho y habíamos aclarado que Dios no se arrepiente porque hace las cosas mal. Esa es nuestra especialidad, y eso es lo que Dios espera de nosotros, que cuando hagamos algo que está mal nos arrepintamos. Amén. Pero Dios no se arrepiente del mal. Dios lo que hace es que cambia de parecer respecto a cómo nos va a tratar. Y a nosotros nos conviene, porque Él nos ama. ¿Amén?
Voy a tratar.
Ok.
En los cantitos más pequeñitos.
Sí.
Que Dios no se arrepiente.
Dios no se arrepiente porque hizo mal.
God does not repent. He doesn't repent because he did something wrong. He repents because he actually
wants to forgive us,
so he changes
his mind
about his punishment towards us.
Mm-hmm. Y habíamos dicho que nos convenía, hermano. Amén. La palabra del Señor lo dice. Jonás sabía que Dios era misericordioso. Amén. Bendito el Señor.
And that is the aspect that that benefits us when he changes his mind about punishing us.
Right.
He then demonstrates his mercy.
Amén. Ahora bien, en el Evangelio, cuando vamos al Nuevo Testamento, el énfasis es en que nosotros como hijos de Dios tenemos que tener un espíritu perdonador. Amén.
When we look at the gospel, it adds something extra in that, yes, we are forgiven, but now we must also forgive.
Amén. En Lucas 11:4, hermano. Lucas 11:4 dice, y perdónanos en nuestros pecados, porque también nosotros perdonamos a todos los que nos deben. Y no nos metas en tentación, mas líbranos del mal.
In Luke chapter 11, verse 4 says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Una cosa interesante, hermano, es que en el idioma arameo, que era el que hablaba el Señor Jesús típicamente con las personas, la palabra pecado y la palabra deuda era lo mismo. Deuda y pecado era lo mismo. Por eso es que en este verso vemos que dice, perdónanos nuestros pecados. y perdónanos porque nosotros perdonamos a los que nos deben.
An interesting fact that we know is that in the original language in which Jesus spoke, debt and
perdón, sin.
Debt and sin are essentially the same word. Mm-hmm. So when we look at the verse where it says,
forgive us our sins.
Forgive us our sins. It is the same thing.
Yeah. Que nos perdone nuestra deuda. Ahora bien, Mateo 6:12, otro verso también, lo dice directamente. No menciona la palabra pecado porque ya presume que todo el mundo sabe que deuda, ¿ok? Deuda de pecado y pecado con el Señor es lo mismo. Mateo 6:12 dice, perdónanos nuestras deudas, como también nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. Amén.
Matthew 6:12 emphasizes this aspect that debt and sin are the same word, in because it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Entonces, ¿cuántos de nosotros aquí conocemos lo que se le conoce tradicionalmente como el Padre Nuestro, de memoria? ¿Verdad que sí?
All of us here could refer back to
the Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer.
Amén. Y lo sabemos de memoria.
We know it by heart.
Hay una parte, ¿verdad? Y esta misma parte dice, y perdónanos nuestras deudas, como nos toma, también nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores.
Ahora, a portion of the Lord's Prayer actually says that forgive our offenses, yes, forgive our sins as we forgive those.
Ahora, ¿cómo es posible entonces que nosotros hiciéramos o haríamos esta oración al Señor, amén, si no fuera de una manera honesta? ¿Va entendiendo?
So how it is that we can say this Lord's Prayer and not say it completely, like honestly or sincerely, if we don't commit to that part where we say that we forgive others?
Lo que quiere decir es que cuando usted hace esta oración, se presupone que usted cumplió con las condiciones de ella. ¿Y cuál es la condición? Que nosotros ya perdonamos a aquellos que nos ofenden. Amén.
So when we say the Lord's Prayer, it is...
¿Cómo que se da por aceptado?
Sí. It's a given.
It's a given that we complete each of the aspects of it, including the part where it says that we forgive others as we are forgiven.
Amén. O sea, la palabra del Señor lo dice claramente. El Señor, entonces, nos perdona solamente cuando nosotros hemos perdonado a los que nos ofenden. Amén.
The Lord forgives us only when we forgive others.
Dame un segundito, perdón. Sí, Jesús, vamos a sentarnos, sentadito, ok. Muy bien. Disculpe usted, hermanito. Okay. Muy bien. Entonces, hermano, en la palabra del Señor hemos dicho muchas veces que todo es blanco y negro. O sea, aquí no hay nada nebuloso, no hay nada incierto. Todo es o todo o nada. Amén.
When we look at the Bible, it's all black and white. There's no in between. There aren't any gray spaces. It is everything or nothing.
Vimos en español en lo que llega el hermanito, ¿verdad? Okay. Sé que él está un poquito malito de la comida de Puerto Rico. Eso lo borramos. Se me olvida que estamos en vivo. Gloria a Dios. Hermano, mire, si yo voy a hacer esta oración al Señor y yo quiero y debo ser íntegro con Él y le digo, Señor, perdóname mis pecados, porque ya yo he perdonado a los que han pecado contra mí, o sea, a los que tienen deuda conmigo. Es algo tan claro, tan rajatabla, como decimos del Evangelio, que tenemos que decir que una precondición, o sea, una condición para que Dios te perdone, es que tú hayas perdonado a los otros. Entonces, el perdón es una parte integral del Evangelio, porque el Evangelio es esto mismo, hermano. que Cristo murió por los pecadores para redimirnos y comprarnos y pagar la deuda de pecado que nosotros tenemos con Él, porque todos pecamos. Así que, si nosotros recibimos ese perdón de Él, ese gran perdón de Él, esa tremenda deuda que era impagable, como la de, ya usted sabe quién, ¿verdad? Estamos hablando en estos días, ¿verdad? Una deuda impagable. Amén. Nosotros acudimos a la misericordia de Dios. Y Él accedió a perdonarnos. A perdonarnos la deuda. Porque la deuda no se podía pagar. Entonces, su expectativa es que para nosotros acogernos al perdón de Él, no solamente el perdón cuando venimos y le conocemos como Salvador, el día que nos salvamos, sino todos los días después, predispone que nosotros hayamos perdonado a aquellos que nos ofenden. Si usted, ¿verdad? Nos referimos a Efesios 4:32. Dice, antes sed benignos unos con otros, misericordiosos, perdonándoos unos a otros, como también os perdonó a vosotros en Cristo. Dios nos perdonó a nosotros en Cristo Jesús. Así que es una expectativa, es un mandato. No es algo bueno, no es algo tremendo, no es algo encomiable, es algo fundamental del Evangelio. Y el Señor quiere que nosotros tengamos, ¿por qué el Señor hace esto? Me pregunto yo. Yo digo, bueno, no solamente, estas son de algunas de las cosas que no hay ni que explicar, hermano. O sea, hay cosas en la Biblia, hermano, que Dios las hace porque sí. Hay gente que quiere 20 explicaciones de las cosas. ¿Por qué Dios nos amó? No hay forma de explicar por qué Dios nos amó, porque éramos inamables nosotros. Nosotros no teníamos nada por lo cual el Señor nos tuviera que amar, ni nada que le atara, ni que le obligara. Él nos amó porque Él es amor, hermano, porque sí, amén. Y Él nos dio su gracia. Y todo aquel que hoy se acoge al llamado que el Señor nos hace, el Señor le perdona. Amén. Y el Señor espera que una vez siendo perdonados, nosotros perdonemos, hermano. Y usted sabe el traqueteo puertorriqueño con el perdón, ¿verdad? ¿Sabe cuál es? Yo perdono, pero no olvido. Como dice, me reservo el derecho de guardarte rencor. Y eso en realidad no es perdón, hermano. ¿Sabe que nosotros en Puerto Rico, distinto al Evangelio, somos medio estos o medio aquellos? Nunca somos completos de nada. Si nadie es completamente inteligente, es medio inteligente, o es medio bobo, medio listo, medio pillo. ¿Sabe? Así somos nosotros. Pero tenemos que acostumbrarnos que en el Evangelio no existen esas cosas, amén. Todo eso, todo o nada. Entonces el Señor ya da por sentado que a quienes Él le perdonó la deuda impagable de pecado, perdone las otras deuditas que otros tienen con nosotros, deudas de pecado también. Y si usted se refiere a lo que leímos, a la parábola que leímos, hermano, era precisamente eso. Fíjese, para que usted tenga una idea, usted vio lo que pasaba ahí. Para que usted tenga una idea de los números, hermano. Cuando dice que uno le debía 10.000 talentos, este siervo, ¿verdad? Estaba endeudado con su patrono. Parece que quizás su patrono había entablado con él unas propuestas y había dicho, pues mira, yo voy a hacer tales negocios para nombre tuyo, señor. Si tú me prestas esto y esto y esto, pues va a haber cierta ganancia y un día hablamos y yo te traigo la ganancia y lo que me prestaste también. Pero parece que eso no sucedió. Y el dinero se gastó y el hombre tenía 10.000 talentos de deuda. ¿Tú sabes cuántos son 10.000 talentos? Si lo comparamos con el sueldo de una persona normal, son 2.000 años. 2.000 años de sueldo. Es decir, si lo tratamos de extrapolar, decimos, pues ponle pues, 10.000, 12.000 dólares al año, un jornalero por sacarte a tiempo, son de 20 a 24 millones de dólares le debía. No, cambio suelto, como uno dice. Le debía al Señor. Hermano, ¿cómo era posible que una persona que era evidente trabajaba alquilado, como trabajamos muchos de nosotros aquí, ¿sabe lo que es alquilado, verdad? Que usted trabaja para alguien y alguien le paga un sueldo. ¿Cómo es posible que alguien aquí yo le dijera, usted va a pagar 24 millones de dólares? Y usted dice, sí, hazme un plan de pago. De aquí a un tiempo yo estoy seguro que lo voy a haber pagado. Okay. There is no way, ¿verdad? No hay forma de pagar 24 millones de dólares. Amén. Okay. Así que, si comparamos la deuda del que le debía a este que debía 24 millones, okay, dice que eran 300 denarios.
So if we were to compare the debt that this man had of 300
denarios? I don't know. 300 qué sé yo. ¿Ah? Sí, pero debe estar ahí. I don't know the translation for denario, pero debe ser. El denario era el sueldo de un día.
300 denarios, which is the equivalent of a day's pay?
Yeah.
Or years.
Well, aquí dice, no, perdón, dice 100 denarios, ¿verdad? ¿Qué decía? Que la traducción es Mateo 18,
Talents.
Sí, talents, sí, pero talents es uno. Lo otro es 18, 28. ¿Qué?
Pence.
Sí, o sea, en inglés dice pence, pero son denarios, que son 100 días de trabajo, 4 meses de sueldo. Ponle 3.000, 4.000 dólares, ¿verdad? Para un jornalero, vamos a ponerlo así. 3.000, 4.000 dólares versus 20 millones de dólares, hermano. Vaya bien.
So when we compare the amounts, it's 20,000 to roughly 3,000, 4,000.
20 million versus 4,000.
20 million, sorry.
¿Qué?
Versus 4,000.
El punto que está haciendo el Señor aquí, hermano, es que la deuda del primero no se podía pagar.
The point that Jesus is trying to make here is that the debt of the first man was impossible to pay.
Pero la deuda del segundo hombre que tenía con el primero sí se podía pagar.
But the other debt that the second man had against the first man was payable.
Entonces, dice que cuando el primero, que debía 24 millones de dólares a su señor, a su patrono, fue allí, el patrono lo quería vender a él. Era lo que se hacía, era típico. Vendía a él y a su familia para sacar el dinero y después lo metía en la cárcel hasta que pagara.
So the first man, the case of the first man is that when he went to ask for forgiveness for the debt,
sí.
It turned out that he couldn't pay the debt, so in turn, he and his family would have been sent to jail until they were able to pay off the debt.
Se hacía, se vendía a la familia y al hombre lo metían preso. La familia la vendían como esclavos. Sacaron dinero y era ley, ¿qué? Y el hombre de la casa lo metían en la cárcel hasta que pagara.
It was a custom in back then that the man was sent to jail and his family were sold off until the debt to gain back some money until the debt was paid off.
Entonces yo le pregunto, ¿cómo usted va a pagar la deuda si usted está en la cárcel?
And then I ask you, how is the man able to pay off his debt if he's in jail?
O sea, si usted mira bien los detalles, estaba diciendo, esa deuda no se iba a poder pagar nunca. Aun cuando el amo ejerciera su derecho de enviarlo a la cárcel.
When we look back, it was impossible to, and it was basically saying it's an unpayable debt because the man was sent to jail.
No podía trabajar, no podía generar nada. Ahora, el segundo hombre tenía una deuda considerable contra él mismo. Esa sí se podía pagar, hermano querido. Amén.
The second man that we see had a debt that was payable onto the first man.
Okay, entonces, su amo perdona al gran deudor, porque ese deudor le rogó, dice que se postró, se tiró en el suelo, en el piso, frente a él, y le rogó y le pidió que le hiciera un plan de pago. Y el Señor accedió, no solamente al plan de pago, sino que dijo, yo te perdono la deuda. Amén.
So the first man, he goes up to his master or to his lord and said, and he kneels down and he says, Lord, forgive me. I will be unable to pay off the debt. Could we maybe work out some sort of
payment
plan, so to speak, for that debt? And his Lord said, he said, not only I will forgive you the debt completely.
Okay. Ahora, fíjense los elementos aquí, hermano. Hay que dar cara al Señor, porque el master aquí, el Señor, el dueño de todo, representa a Dios mismo. Esto es evidente en esta historia. Si alguien quiere esperar perdón de Dios, no puede ser porque sí, porque yo estoy aquí y recibo el perdón de Dios. Hay que postrarse y pedirle perdón a Dios y decirle, Señor, la deuda que yo tengo no se puede pagar.
When we look at the basis of this parable, is that God here is the master, and just as the servant gave face, just as he went before the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me, we have to go before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. It's not just because, you know, Lord, I'm here, okay, but you just forgive me. We have to actually go before God and ask for forgiveness straight up.
Y el Señor entonces decidió perdonarle la deuda. Amén. La expectativa del Señor ante aquel que le perdonó la deuda es que él hiciera la misma misericordia que hicieron con él.
So the master in the parable forgave the man, and what he expected of this man was that he will then go forth and forgive other debtors that he had.
Sucedió entonces que salió este hombre, y yo aquí no veo, hermano, me hubiera gustado ver, posiblemente lo hizo, pero no es evidente en la historia, que ese hombre, eso era que había que hacer una fiesta, hermano. Él sabe que ese hombre tenía una deuda que nadie podía pagar, ni él mismo. Y viene un día y lo llaman a cuentas, y cuando ya estaba listo para que lo metieran preso, sale con la deuda perdonada. No sé si usted entiende, hermano, la grandeza y las imposibilidades que hay aquí. Pero no lo veo a él celebrando de nada.
We don't see it in the Bible, but if we were in that position where they were coming to get us to put us in jail because of the huge debt that we had, and then we find out that we don't have to pay off the debt, we'd be celebrating. We would be having a big party because of it. We don't see that in the Bible for the first man.
No. Ahora, aún así, cuando ese hombre sale, ¿verdad?, a la calle, ¿okay?, se encontró a uno con siervo, o sea, a alguien que posiblemente era deudor del amo como él lo era. ¿Okay? No se nos dice que este tuviera deuda con el amo, pero sí se nos dice que tenía deuda con aquel que le habían perdonado la deuda. Amén.
So after he's been forgiven, he goes off probably back home, and then he encounters this man that owes him some money.
Y usted esperaría que él dijera, si a mí me perdonaron 24 millones, ¿cuánto tú me debes? 4,000. Olvídate de eso. Dame un abrazo. Ya todo eso está firmado, está olvidado. Amén.
You would expect that a man who's just been forgiven $20 million would see this man and say, mira, whatever you owe me, $3,000, $4,000, consider it erased.
Pero no lo hizo así, hermano.
But it wasn't so.
Dijo, no, tú me debes 4,000 pesos, ¿qué tú crees que soy un hombre rico? No más seguro. ¡Hey! Lo llevó a la corte. Le leyeron la cartilla, le enseñó el pagaré que estaba vencido, y ¿qué hicieron? Lo metieron en la cárcel.
It turns out that the man who had just been forgiven sent this other man to court, and there they brought up everything that was debt and was owed onto him, and the second man was then placed in jail.
Los consiervos, los otros consiervos, vieron lo que pasó y dijeron, esto no debe ser. Fíjense, aquí los consiervos se constituyen en los hijos de Dios, en los creyentes, hermano. Dice que unos consiervos vieron a uno a quien Dios le hizo misericordia y él al otro, ¿ok? Lo que hizo fue que lo oprimió y no le perdonó una deuda que no comparaba nada con la que el mismo Dios le había perdonado a él. Y dice que ellos fueron ante el dueño, ante Dios mismo, y se quejaron.
So his fellow servants saw what was going on, the injustice that was being made, that the person, the man who had the huge debt did not forgive the man who had the smaller debt and sent him off to jail. When we look at that portion, his fellow servants are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they saw that it was that an injustice was being committed, so they went over to their Lord in this context, but it's when we apply it to our lives, they went over to God.
Así que estas personas, estos consiervos, oraron. Traído a nuestra vida, ellos oraron. Fueron a donde Dios le dijeron, Señor, aquí ocurrió una injusticia. ¿Okay? Y hay que corregir.
So the fellow servants, they went before the Lord in prayer. When we apply it to our lives, an injustice has been committed and we need a way out.
¿Qué hizo el Señor? Enseguida atendió el asunto, hermano. O sea, el Señor no se place de las injusticias. ¿Está bien? El problema que nosotros tenemos es que nosotros queremos llamarle injusticias a un montón de cosas que simplemente son raíz de pecado y son raíces de otras cosas y otros planes que Dios tiene. Déjame explicar eso yo. The thing is that when we see throughout the world, right, and we see a lot of people crying about, oh, this is an injustice, there is an injustice there, injustice here, people are dying, people are sick, people are hungry, and they go hungry for many months and maybe for their entire lives, right? And we think that's an injustice, okay? If you look closely, it's really the wages of sin, okay? It's the result of people sinning. Because I was asked once, why do some people that go on a boat and try to come into Puerto Rico illegally, and sometimes the boat capsizes, and they go into the sea, and there come the sharks, right? Why does God allow that? And I say, well, you're doing many illegal things right there. So why did everybody ask, oh Lord, thank you, because it is your will that I get on a boat, you know, underground, and then try to come illegally into something else, and you gotta bless me. Right? There are things that are obviously out of sin. Okay? This one here, okay? This one here was an outright injustice. Somebody needed to be forgiven, and he wasn't being forgiven. Okay? Si usted quiere, yo lo puedo seguir en inglés, ¿verdad? No es que yo sea que americano ni nada. Usted, sí, ¿usted entiende? Se puede hacer más fácil. Okay, I'll continue. Si hablo español en un momento, pues, perdón. Okay, I'll continue. Sí, más fácil, yo creo, porque vamos más directo. Okay. ¿Ah? Todo el mundo entiende inglés aquí, ¿verdad? ¿Usted entiende inglés? Más o menos. Sí, ella entiende inglés, porque estuvo allá, ella estuvo en Balcá un tiempo. Okay. Okay, so we'll continue in English. What I will ask you is to give me your English Bible. No, me gusta más leerla aquí. Okay. Okay, so God expects Christians, okay? And by Christians, I mean true Christians. I mean, these days we have to say true Christians, I mean, making a point different from those that call themselves Christians or are not. I mean, in these days of apostasy that we are living today, we need to clarify that. I look forward to the days when we are with the Lord and we no longer need to clarify that. Okay? But so it is right now. So, The issue is that this man called himself, I'm a Christian, because God, just a few moments ago, had mercy on me and forgave me all my sins and forgave me all my debt. So I am so happy with it, he should be, that whoever comes about that has whatever debt it is to me, against me, I will forgive him or forgive her outright. That was what God expected of him. But sadly, it didn't happen. What happened? He went, found someone that owed him a petty cash compared to the debt he had before. And then he strangled him. And he said, no, you are not going home today. You are going to jail because you are an irresponsible man. You should be ashamed of yourself. And you'll go to jail until you pay me off. And he did. And because it is the law, if you pay and you cannot pay, you're going to jail. So he went to jail. Now, the other brothers that saw that said, this is an outrage. I mean, this must not happen among those that call themselves sons of God. Right? And they were offended on that. And they prayed. When it says they went up to the master, to the Lord, and told him what was happening, they prayed. And the Lord heard. And the Lord acted quickly because he is very sharp on acting on injustice. Okay? Now, he called that one who had a big debt and asked him, hey, I forgave you your debt, your huge debt, the unpayable debt, because you basically kneeled down and you cried about it. And you came down to me and I forgave you. Okay? How is it that you didn't forgive that one who owed you a petty cash? Okay? And you notice, and it's not strange that there is no answer. How can you explain that out? I mean, how would you explain out if God would tell you now that he's telling us right now through Scripture? I mean, I forgave you that debt of sin that you had with me that wasn't able to be paid out by you. Unless you were willing to go to jail eternally, and you wouldn't be able to pay off it either. So I forgave it. So how is it that you expected me to treat you in the same way that you expected me to treat you is the way that you have treated this man right away? So God is expecting us to be forgivers, right? So forgiveness should be fundamental to us that are calling ourselves the sons and daughters of God, right? Through faith. It is something that mustn't be like, I'm making a strong effort to forgive this one and that one. You know, it needs to be second nature to the Christian. Okay? It needs to be second. Tiene que ser una costumbre nuestra. Tiene que ser algo fundamental. It has to be built in into our own nature. And that was what the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to when he spoke about this parable that we're seeing here. Okay? 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Okay, si va a 1 Corinthians 5, 6 al 8. Nos dice bien claro la expectativa que Dios tiene con nosotros los creyentes, hermano. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. Dice, your glorying is not good. Okay. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Dice en 1 Corinthians 5, 6. No es buena vuestra jactancia. ¿No sabéis que un poco de levadura leuda toda la masa? Y dice el 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Okay? For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Dice, porque tienen que limpiarse de la vieja levadura, para que seáis nueva masa, sin levadura como sois. Porque nuestra Pascua, que es Cristo, ya fue sacrificada por nosotros. In verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Dice, entonces celebremos la fiesta. Dice, no con la vieja levadura. ¿Sabe el corito? ¿Okay? Que dice, creo que es que dice, olvidando la vieja levadura, ¿okay? Y sirviéndole de todo corazón. Dice, ya que has puesto la mano en el arado. ¿Sí conoce el coro? A esta porción es que se refiere. ¿Okay? No con levadura de malicia y de maldad, sino con panes sin levadura de sinceridad y de verdad. If you remember what the leaven, la levadura, meant in the Gospels, you will remember that it symbolizes anything that is contaminated. Okay? So if you want to serve God with leaven, contaminated, God would say, there is something wrong here. So whenever we want to serve God and we want to live our Christian lives, we need to be pure. We need to be separated. We need to be saints, literally speaking. Okay? So when it says here in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, you are just puffed up, right? It says glorying, right, in the King James Version. And I'm sure in other versions will say that more, that they may be puffed up, you're just thinking out loud, whatever you are is an outrage. I mean, you're thinking too much of yourself. Why is it? Because you have leaven in you. Porque están contaminados. Okay? And he says, you need to be cleansed of anything that is not right, any sins that are in our lives. Okay? So, when we go in prayer to the Lord, He expects us to have already forgiven anyone that is sinning against us. Okay? And now, if we see and we can think about sins that maybe someone has committed against us, okay, we tend to think small. Invariably, we tend to think small. Oh, I wasn't invited to certain cousins or nephew's birthday party. That's almost of no importance, right? But some people make a big noise about not being invited to whatever it is because they felt that they were offended or whatever it is. Some others say, oh, I am offended in such and such because he didn't greet me, he didn't acknowledge me when I was here and there. Very small thing to do. Oh, yeah, I'm having a problem with such and such because I lent him $20 about a year ago and he hasn't paid me back. Okay? And then you can say, yeah, Pastor, it's not $20. I lent $3,000 to someone once and he hasn't paid me back. Literally. Okay? So what am I to do? I say, well, I may be able to forgive $20, but come on, $3,000, man. You know how hard it is to live here? La calle está dura. Okay? $3,000, I know a lot of things I could do with $3,000, so let me think about it. So I'm asking you, what is there to think about? I mean, the Lord is asking you, you need to forgive. But how about the $3,000, sir? They went off. They flew away. You burn them. You bury them and forget where. I mean, whatever it suits you. But in reality, that is a small change compared to what the Lord already did with us. And that has to be the comparison. The problem is not that whoever has a debt with us, we consider it to be huge or big or whatever it is. It's that we forgive that the Lord forgave us something that was totally unpayable. Now, there was another parable. I would say parable, it was another historical fact. Actually, it's not a parable. If you go to Luke chapter 7, and we were talking about these maybe couple weeks ago. ¿Vamos bien, verdad? Ok. Voy a buscarla acá también porque... Luke chapter... Chapter 7. Sí. Luke chapter 7. We were referring to this portion of scripture when we were talking about Martha. You remember Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and in the home of Simon the leper, right? Right there in Bethany. Okay? We were talking about that, by, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. Now, if you go to, that's Luke chapter 7, go to verse 40. Okay? Verso 40. Okay, the word in English is, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, go ahead. Paraphrasing, okay? Jesus said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that the one whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, yes, that's correct. And then he turned to the woman, okay, to Mary, and said unto Simon, you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them off with her hair. You gave me no kiss. Okay, but this woman, since I entered this home, has been kissing my feet all the time. You didn't put oil in my head. You didn't anoint me, right? But this woman has been anointing my feet with ointment. Recuerda el perfume de nardo. Therefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. Okay. Interesting this comparison that Jesus makes upon love and forgiveness. Now, he said, anyone who has been forgiven a huge debt, I expect him to love much. But those that are being forgiven a small debt, I expect them to love like so. Huh? Love a little bit. Not compared to the ones that are forgiven a lot. But the point is, how about the depth of sin that Jesus forgave us for? Okay? How big was our debt? And we can go on and on and say, yeah, my debt was... And we'll never finish, right? In all cases, our debt with him is unpayable. So, if our debt with him is so huge that it cannot be counted, it cannot be, monitored or audited. They are asking the Puerto Rican debt to be audited. It doesn't need to be audited. It's so huge that it's beyond auditing. So our debt with the Lord is beyond auditing as well. There is no point, right, in making a tally of all the sins that we committed against him, because we'll never end. Now, if our debt with him was so huge, how does he expect us to love him and to love the others, right? In the same way, right? If he forgave us that much, then he expects us to love him that much, right? And not only love him, but love one another, right? The Bible says that how is it that we can love someone, okay? That we are not seeing the Lord, okay? And then claim that we love someone here that we see, and I love Pablo, and then I don't love Rosa. How is it? How's that? There is no way around it, right? So, if we say we love God, which we haven't seen, but He has forgiven us, how much should I love my brothers and sisters? I mean, how much should I love even those that are not my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Because I have been loved so much by Him, and He forgave me for all it's worth. So how is it that I am not going to be forgiving or loving someone else? Again. So this is one of those things in Scripture that are not optional. That the Lord is taking us for granted that we love one another and that we forgive whoever is it that is not treating us right at this point. Okay? Now, and this is no small deal. Okay? We have been saying all along for many years that if we are holding something in our heart against someone because we are not forgiving him or her, okay, it's a time bomb. And it shows up in your life. Okay, there is only so much you can do about, you know, taking it in and not forgiving and holding it in, okay, and saying, yeah, I'm pretty good because I am forgiving, you know, last time I checked, 99.9% of those that did something to me. But there is a 0.1% that is a special case that this elite group here that I am not forgiving because it's unforgivable. Right? And whatever it is, it may be just one thing. It's still in our heart. It's there. Recuerda la levadura, the leaven in our heart. It doesn't stay like that. It grows. Okay? And it takes hold of your heart. It takes hold of your soul. And then whenever you used to sing, you're not singing anymore. And whenever you felt like, yeah, I'm happy because I'm going to the Lord's house, you're not happy anymore. And you may be skipping here and there the days where you should be gathering with your brethren here. Maybe. And then you don't have any joy from the Spirit anymore. And then some of us may be asking, why is that? Why is that? Why is that? One good chance, actually the better chance, to explain that out is lack of forgiveness. You know what I told you about the way Puerto Ricans are, right? We are non-confrontational. You know what that means? If somebody treats me wrongly, my tendency, being Puerto Rican, right, is that, okay, I didn't like it, but I don't feel like talking to him. So I'm just going to let it pass. And time will cure it over time. Okay? Time will cure it. So the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that love would cover all sins, meaning that if I love him, even though he offended me, I need to talk to him and I need to come clean with him and explain what is it that was done wrong and seek out peace between the two of us. It doesn't say time heals everything. Just give it time. Give it time. Right? It is as if you were walking, you know, in the wilderness, blah, blah, blah. I feel like walking in the wilderness. I am one with the wilderness. I even going into it without any shoes. And then you step on the, yeah, no, on a thorn, or you can step on a piece of glass. And then you have a 3-inch cut right there in your foot. Oh, this came from nature. Looks so beautiful. I'm just going to leave it there with dirt and everything in there. You know what would happen, right? You say, no, that I give it 3 weeks. In 3 weeks I will be as good as new, right? But you know what will happen? And you have a saying for that. Eso no se queda así, eso se hincha, ¿verdad? So everything, whenever it's wrong, and I can be applied to a lot of things too. Yeah. It swells up, it goes bad, and then you say, well, it's not too bad. I don't see it if I don't look at it. So if I don't want to see it, I don't look at it. And it only hurts when I lay down my foot, right? So I will be walking on one leg only, in order not to feel the pain. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing fine. And months into it, I'm doing fine. Eventually, it will cure itself. And then you start feeling your feet is going numb. Right? And it's changing into a purple, blackish color. Right? They say, oh, I can't feel my toes anymore. You say, it's no problem because I'm not using my toes for anything. So I just let it be. And then your whole foot goes black to the ankle. And at that point, maybe I'm going to do something now, but maybe I'm just going to give it another month to see what happens. By the time you go, or they take you, right? Seems that you will never go to the doctor, right? By the time they take you, the doctor says, I'm going to give you a choice. You measure, with a ruler, where do you want me to cut the leg? Do you want me to cut it just below the knee or a little bit above? Or you do want me to remove it altogether? Three choices. I'm giving you three choices. And then you say, I should have taken time and take care of this when I needed to take care. When was it that you needed to take care of it? Right the moment that you cut your feet or your foot in that moment. Okay? So we need to be tending these things right away. Not until they go and create a lot of trouble. Sometimes it's even irreparable. Okay? Because whoever you are, because of the unforgiveness that may be in your heart, it's not only affecting you, it affects others around you as well. So whenever you say, I'm suffering alone, you're not suffering alone. So everybody around you is suffering, believe me. Because most of the sweet and sour that we have in our soul, okay, and most of the, I don't know what the translation is for amargura, I don't know what, bitterness, thank you. Much of the bitterness we have in our heart, okay, actually shows off and shows out and cannot be hidden, okay? Just as love and the fruit of the Spirit cannot be hidden. Such is sin, okay? And we need to make a strong point out of this. Okay, anybody of us, if I would go around and ask you, could you write up the five topmost offenses that somebody has done into you? And you can say, I have this, I have that, that somebody was calling me names, and I have money that somebody owes me, and I have this that somebody didn't love me. And you have maybe the top five worst offenders in your life. And if I were to ask you, are you 100% clean on them? Have you forgiven those that offended you that time? I would expect you to tell me yes, right away. I hold no grudge, no bitterness in my heart. I'm fully clean because I cleaned that up. Either directly with them, or if they're no longer alive, or I can't reach them because they moved to China, whatever it is, or they are unreachable, which is very strange these days because you can reach pretty much anybody. I forgive them in my heart, okay, even though they don't know it, but God knows. Now, if you come back to me and say, about that, I'm still holding it in because, he shouldn't have, or she shouldn't have, or it's way too much, and I'm not ready, and whatever it is. And the reason is, it's all pure nonsense to this point. Because if God forgave you, then no sin is too large for us to forgive to somebody. If you go to Psalm 32, let's go there and then we'll be wrapping up shortly, okay? El domingo que viene ponemos allí, se habla español, afuera. No se han mareado todavía con el inglés goleta este mío que va como un barco así. We're doing good, okay? Sí, es inglés manchado. Dice la palabra del Señor, Salmo 32, en el nombre de Jesús. Dice, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. ¿Okay? Fíjate lo que está diciendo. Este es David diciendo, bienaventurado aquel cuya transgresión, o sea, su pecado, ha sido perdonado y ha sido cubierto. Dice el verso 2. Bienaventurado el hombre a quien Jehová no culpa de iniquidad y en cuyo espíritu no hay engaño. Vio la bendición. You see the blessings of being in a clean slate with the Lord and with everybody as it matters. Now it goes to say, verse 3, okay? En español dice, mientras callé, se envejecieron mis huesos. ¿Qué quiere decir callé? But this, in this section, it applies to me hiding something from the Lord. And you know the impossibility of that, right? It is completely outrageous that you would think you could hide something from the Lord. So this is the way, if you cannot be except clean with the Lord, because He knows everything, right? You need to be the same way with everybody. And believe me, that is one of the most, if not the most, important blessings of the Christian life, where you feel completely forgiven, and you have forgiven. One thing is that you were forgiven by God, and the other is that you're forgiving everybody, because you are not who will make them pay. If they did something and they need to pay, they committed sin against you, they sinned against the Lord as well. And He is the one that will be passing, you know, a review, will be passing through court, will be passing through judgment, right? It is His business of doing that. It is not our business. And that's a good thing. Because if we were the ones right now to judge and to make everybody pay what they've done unto us, you know what will happen. We would always overdo it. Because most of the time, you know, our justice, like the Lord says, doesn't work like His justice. That's why it's not even your problem. Okay? You need to rely on God. That whatever hurt you, it could be people owing you money that you may say, oh, I need that money for so many things. I need that money for my kids. I need that money for whatever it is. And I lent it to somebody and he just forgot about it. Okay? Now, on whom are you relying? Are you relying on him or are you relying on God? If you're relying on God, He will take care of you. I mean, He said that already. And He went as far as forgiving you all your sins. He will also take care of the small things, which is providing for you in any way that you need. So what is there to care about or to whine about, right? So we need to make a small detail of whatever is it that somebody does unto us. Because the Lord is taking care of us already. And it would be a huge mistake, not to say a sin, to withhold anything against somebody that did something wrong unto us, right? So we shouldn't do that. We actually need to forgive. And believe me, forgiveness unto anybody, it is the most, I would say, releasing and relaxing feeling you can have in your heart. Second, maybe to being forgiven by God all the time. Okay? And that way, you are not holding any weight in your heart. You are not holding any leaven in your heart. You are completely free and completely I would say forgiven in a way that the Lord forgave you and you're forgiving everyone. The Lord is ready to use you in any way that He can. And that's the only way, believe me. I knew someone once, an old man. You say, maybe 35 years ago. And he was pastoring in Mayagüez, okay, for a long time. And he was a very, he seemed to be like a joyful person, right? Because he was always thinking and always, he always had a joke and he was very outright, very going forth and open about, you know, that type of personality. And everybody knew him and everybody knew who he were, and when anybody knew where his church was, and, you know, very, very well known around the place. And I remember that I think it was like Easter preaching campaign or something. I don't know. I can't remember. And I was there as a visitor in that church in Mayagüez. And then I remember the preacher, the guest preacher was preaching about forgiveness. Okay? And all of a sudden, the pastor, which was in the seat, you know, a chair behind the pulpit, he started shouting and crying about and fell to the, you know, to the floor. Okay? And then we said, maybe he's having a heart attack, or maybe he's epileptic, or I don't know, whatever it is, because it was all of a sudden. But he was crying out loud, perdóname, Señor, perdóname, Señor, forgive me, oh Lord, porque yo no he perdonado. Because I haven't forgiven. And he went about it like in a rant, on and on. It was no consolation to him. And they finally had to lift him up, take him up to the back side of the church, and they were praying for them there. At the end of the service, you know, after the commotion and everything, you know, preaching resumed and as much as it could be. And like 20 minutes after we finished, the people were not leaving because they were asking, where's the pastor? The pastor of the church. So they brought him in, okay? And then he was, you know, feeling much better. I mean, he was able to speak. And then he went up to the pulpit and picked up the microphone and said, I have something to confess, in that I had been holding a grudge, I haven't forgiven this and that, and he mentioned somebody from his youth years, which to this point maybe 6 years ago, I mean, he was an old man. And I said, and I remember that one who at some point, okay, stole a pair of shoes from my home. And the shoes weren't even mine. They were some, either his sister or brother, whatever, I can't recall what it was. And I was never able to forgive him for doing that. And I was keeping that in my heart. And it was eating away and away and away and away. But when everybody was saying, but I mean, he was always appearing to be joyful, appearing to be outgoing. He was always the joke of the party. You know what I mean? He was very happy person to be around. Everybody wanted the piece of him, right? In a good sense. But it happened to be that it wasn't like that. So what I'm telling you is that it can be faked. Okay? You can fake being joyful. Anybody can do it. I mean, the clowns do it. The actors and actresses do it every day. They can be, oh, I'm so happy, I can't close my mouth because I just feel like it. You know, it's, you can learn to do that. You can learn to sing because you have to, right? But the Lord knows better, right? We don't know better, but the Lord knows better. And it is not the way the Lord wants you to live your life. But you remember what is the main reason? I don't know if we passed on it. Verse 35, and with this we'll finish, of Matthew 18. Okay? Matthew 18, verse 35. Dice en inglés, in English, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone their trespasses. En español dice, así también mi Padre Celestial hará con vosotros si no perdonáis de todo corazón cada uno a su hermano sus ofensas. What is it that he would do unto us? Oh, he would do unto us what he did to the ungrateful servant on verse 34. What did he do? He said, he delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay off all that was due unto him. Dice, le entregó a los verdugos hasta que pagase todo lo que debía. One clarification, we are not talking here about salvation. Okay, there is, salvation is not the topic, it's not the context of what we're talking about here. Okay, so don't be misled by that. It assumes, okay, that we are saved already. So this message is to Christians, okay? This message is to those that are saved, okay? You could say, yeah, this message is to those also that claim to be saved but are not. That are just learning everything Christian by rote, right? By you know, and then just assume that are Christians, but they haven't ever gotten up to asking the Lord to save them. Okay? Maybe, yeah. We can think about that too. But see what it says. It says, I will deliver him to the tormentors, to the, you know, executors, whatever it is. Okay? Why is that? I mean, how would the Lord do that with us? I mean, which way would he do that? Okay? Well, you know, tormentors, there is no better tormentor than the devil itself. Okay? So he wouldn't be tormenting us with our brothers and sisters. He would be letting the devil torment us. Right? You remember how God allowed the devil to torment Job, you know, Job and that kind? Right? He allowed the devil to tease and torment Peter, right? And then you hear Paul saying, I went ahead and delivered Alexander, right? The pot maker, el calderero. You remember Himeneo, Alejandro, Fileto, all these guys that Paul says, I delivered them to the devil. So that they learn not to be blasphemous or to start contending against the gospel. Okay? I delivered them unto the devil so that the flesh can be torn out, but the spirit will be saved in the day of salvation. Right? So we're not talking about salvation here. We are talking about being led free into the devil's hand so that he can do whatever he does best with those of us. And why would God do that? Because God would have us taste whatever we were tasting before he forgave us, right? And he doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to understand that the only way we can live the Christian life is to be as forgiving as he is. And he wants us to be everything that he is. And we need to be. And if wherever we think we are not completely sure how is it that we are going to be forgetting or forgiving anybody, he is the one that gave us the Holy Spirit for us to be capable to do that. Okay? So if we pray with all our heart and we surely want to believe and to do as he is asking us to do, the Holy Spirit will go ahead and let us fulfill his will, right? So, and let me tell you, I remember one time, I already began to work. It was so many years ago, maybe like 31 years ago. I had barely begun to work. And I was into music, you know, very heavily. And so I had my keyboard, I had my speakers and whatnot, because I thought, so So if I would be playing in some place, I need to have my own equipment, you know, because I won't go there. Hey, do you have this speaker? Do you have this cable? You know, it is not right. So you need to be self-service around that. And then with many sacrifices, I went up and bought a pair of speakers, right? Similar to those that you put up there, right? But for me, it was a big thing because, I mean, I was almost flat broke after buying those, and I was cherishing them, and I make sure that they were those that would last a long time, blah, blah, blah. And I had two nice, you know, stands, these aluminum stands and whatever it is. And, you know, I said, so this is for an investment for the long run. And then 3 months into that, I hadn't even paid them, okay, because I bought them on credit. And I wasn't even paid them. And somebody came about and said, hey, Tito, can you lend me the speakers and the stands? You know, it's just for tonight, and I'll bring them up tomorrow, which is Saturday, right? And then I wasn't feeling sure because I barely know the guy. But he said, I am from this church, wherever it is, blah, 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 right here, a church that is local here. You see it every day. I will tell you which church it is. And then I said, yeah, I will lend them to you. But make sure you return them to me tomorrow, like you said. Yeah, sure, it's your thing. Aclavo pasado, ahí sí, seguro, tú sabes. You know how it is. 30 years ago. So I could say that, maybe I would be in my own secular right to say every Saturday I could say, today is a good Saturday for him to go. With the speakers and the stands, or at least the cases, or I don't know, they had maybe powdered away, maybe 30 years afterwards. But I can say that I'm not. So, but for a couple of years, I was like giving away to thinking, because I used to be agayu, very agayu in my youthful days, you know, and I am. Maybe thinking, I should do something to him, because I was thinking that, you know, sometimes we say, well, sometimes our parents know exactly when they should spank us, right? Because God gave them that that responsibility, and in order to, you know, raise us, they need to correct us and discipline us every so often. So I'm thinking about disciplining him. I was thinking, what should I do to him? Okay, so that it could be like unfair. And maybe that would be a blessing to him, because he would learn not to do that thing anymore. And I remember I was at it, like thinking. And every time they told me about, you remember such and such? And I was envenenado, like I was poisoned, you know, about the whole thing. You catch my drift. I couldn't. And then I said to God, I said, I cannot live like this. I mean, and I can't, and I don't know why, because 1 month afterwards, I lent a microphone, and I'm waiting for it still to a different person. And the microphone was even more expensive than the speaker. So there is, so I wasn't thinking about the microphone, but I was thinking about the speakers, because that's the way we are. It's not the amount of the debt or the value of whatever is it that somebody took away from you. It's how you choose to deal with it. And I wasn't dealing with it. I was just keeping it in my heart. And it was wasting me away. Until I decided to do something, right? And I prayed. I remember I was praying. I said, God, I'm not going to think about it anymore. So if I need speakers, you are the Lord of the speakers. If I need cables, you will give me the cables. And if I need stands, you will give me the stands. And whatever it is. And I laid it to rest. Okay? And exactly like I was praying, it happened. I mean, I took it away from myself. I just remember it now because I was telling you this. I wasn't even thinking about him. And I never think about it. As a matter of fact, I passed in front of his church. I don't know if he's there. Maybe he's not. Every day, because it's on road 110. And I go on this road like 3-4 times a day, some days. For More than 30 years. Okay? And I never think about him. Okay? So, the Lord took it away from my heart. And then he has provided in more ways than one ever since. Okay? So the Lord is good with us. He wants us to be good with everybody as well. And there is blessing in you letting go. Right? Remember what said in Psalm 32, right? Something was eating away in me because I was withholding forgiveness. Okay? So whenever you forgive, it's as you were taking medicine, right? It will make you better altogether. Okay? And this, and I'll finish with one verse. Okay? You go to John chapter 13. John 13. Verse 34 and 35. In English it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." En español dice, "Un mandamiento nuevo os doy, que os améis unos a otros, como yo os he amado, que también os améis unos a otros. En esto conocerán todos que sois mis discípulos, si tuviereis amor los unos con los otros." Amén. So the Lord is expecting us to be as forgiven as He is, right? The only difference is that if you haven't made peace with the Lord, if you haven't confessed Him as your Savior today, that won't come automatically. You have to ask Him. And if you ask, He'll forgive you. But whenever someone does something unto you, and if you can't find Him, you can't find her, you need to forgive anyway. Right? And you need to forgive for good. In this testimony I gave you, I wasn't able to find her. I had never seen him since 30 years ago. I remember the day he took away the speakers, and that's the only face I remember of him. I've never seen it since. So I had to forgive him in absentia, like they call him in the courts, right? I never seen him. I don't know if I will ever see him. Maybe someday I'll see him. I say, you know, we are all clear. Maybe he'll say, clear about what? Maybe he wouldn't even remember, right? But I was remembering, and I didn't want to remember anymore. You know what I mean? Okay? So let's stand up. Let's pray. Vamos a orar. Estemos de pie. El Señor es bueno, hermano. Gloria a Dios. Bienaventurado aquel cuya transgresión ha sido perdonada y cubierto su pecado. Bendito sea el Señor. Amén. Que pagó lo que nosotros no podíamos pagar, que hizo lo que nosotros no podíamos hacer. Él solamente quiere que, tal y como en ese día estuvimos perdonados completos, que así sigamos, hermano, en la forma que también nosotros perdonamos a los demás. Vamos a orar. Padre Santo, Señor, ahora yo te doy gracias aquí con todos mis hermanos porque tú eres bueno y tu misericordia está con nosotros siempre, Señor. Y en este día, Padre, ha sido un día de mucho gozo y mucha alegría por estar todos aquí reunidos con nuestras familias también. Gracias te doy, Señor, por todos los que nos visitaron hoy y por todos los hermanos de la iglesia, Padre. Gracias por tu presencia en medio nuestro. Gracias por el gozo que tú pones en nuestro corazón. Señor, ahora estamos aquí, Padre, delante de ti, dándote gracias por oír la palabra que nos has propuesto hoy, Señor, la cual tú esperas que no regrese y sabes tú que no va a regresar vacía. Por eso ahora, Padre Santo, te queremos pedir que examine nuestros corazones, Señor. Y permita, Padre, por tu Espíritu Santo, si hubiera en nosotros alguna raíz de amargura o algún rencor o algo que no se hubiera aclarado con quien sea, Padre, que tú, Señor, lo identifique en nuestro corazón. Posiblemente hasta lo hayamos disque olvidado. Pero, Señor, ministra nuestras vidas en esta hora por medio de tu Espíritu Santo. Y mira, Señor, si hubiera en nosotros alguna raíz de amargura, algún camino, Señor, perverso en nosotros por no perdonar. Y límpianos y perdónanos con la sangre de Jesucristo, Señor. Permítenos poner esa carga delante de ti. Y que tú seas, Señor, el que cargue con ella y que tú seas, Señor, el que arregles cuentas y que nosotros estemos en paz contigo y en paz con quien sea, mi Señor. Te pedimos esto, que nos des tu misericordia en nuestro corazón y que también nos permitas tener fe en nuestro corazón para confiar de que aunque nos hagan mal, tú siempre vas a compensar y siempre nos vas a dar el bien y que no necesitamos de nada más. Por eso, Señor, en esta hora nos estamos poniendo delante de ti los que estamos aquí, Señor. Pero yo también yo quiero ahora pedir, si alguien entre nosotros no hubiera sido salvo, no hubiera sido salva, alguien aquí que aún no haya confesado al Señor Jesús como Salvador y quiera en esta hora confesarlo delante de los hombres, dice el que le confesare, me confesare delante de los hombres, yo le confesaré delante de mi Padre y de sus santos ángeles. Alguien que quiera confesar al Señor Jesucristo como Salvador en esta tarde. Me lo hace saber, puede levantar la mano, puede pasar acá. Amén. Padre Santo, aquí estamos y nos ponemos en tus manos ahora, antes de terminar. Bendícenos, Señor, y que tu Espíritu Santo, la llenura de tu Espíritu Santo esté sobre nuestras vidas, Padre Santo. Ayúdanos, Señor, a caminar cada día más y más y más contigo, Señor. Que seamos oidores, Señor, de tu palabra y hacedores también. Y que limpiemos nuestro corazón y limpiemos nuestro camino, Padre, delante de ti todos los días, hasta que tú nos vengas a buscar, Señor. Gracias, Padre, por toda la bendición de hoy. Llévanos bien ahora, cuando salgamos a la calle, a donde fuéramos, Señor. Algunos de aquí van a regresar, Señor, a sus pueblos. Yo dejo de aquí de Aguadilla. Llévales bien allá a Calle y a Bayamón, Señor. Que puedan ir bien con tu bendición y poder llegar bien también. Y a nosotros, Padre, a todos, danos tu gracia en esta hora, que vayamos bien. Te lo pedimos, Señor, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén. Que Dios me les bendiga a todos, hermanos. Que vayan bien en el nombre de Jesús. Y no se asuste, la próxima vez lo va a hacer en español, ¿o yo? ¿Qué pasó?